time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
On the next CSI, a new mom got drunk and breastfed her baby. And now, David Caruso is milking it for all it's worth on CSI Miami. What do we got?
Well, Horatio, the female suspect was seen breastfeeding her baby while under the influence.
This is one mom who's a real boob. David Caruso has latched onto the teat of cliches and is getting his fill on CSI Miami.
Horatio, the drunken mom just signed a confession. She's in the holding cell sleeping it off.
That means tomorrow she'll go back to nursing. Nursing a hangover. David Caruso has got one strong sucking reflex on the next CSI Miami.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
It's 100 degrees and you're outside running. For you, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger, hitting triple digits means showing off your six-pack abs and your room temperature IQ.
A heat stroke of genius.
5K, 10K. DOA. So the next time you're sitting in your air-conditioned car and see a man scamper along sizzling in the sun wearing sweat-soaked shorts, pay homage to this muggy day marathoner, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger, a real American hero.
Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
You know, it's not the heat, it's the stupidity.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. It's August 25th. We're back in the studio live after a few days off that Kara so graciously gave us.
You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Can welcome back, Kara.
Can you guys hear me out there?
I can hear you. Why? You can't hear yourself?
Maybe, hold on.
Then bring up your thing a little bit. And so Kara just returned from Texas after a few days when she was gone.
A few days in the sweltering swamps of Houston. It was...
Is it worse than this heat?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Like, I'm going to go running in this stuff. I went running in Houston three times.
You did?
Memorial Park. And it's got a little bit of shade, but not enough. And you see people out there, they're doing it. They're running, and I'm like, Kara, you know, you're eating like a fat girl, so get your ass out there and just run your 3 miles.
I see. You know, so you did do it.
Yeah, I was like, so I did it. But I'm telling you, I got in this loop to run. I start, you know, I start picking up some speed. I beat a couple guys, big hefty dudes. I was running past them, and I put it in, you know, into top-notch gear. I beat them. And then I'm like,
So it's pretty humid there?
Yeah, I had to stop. I did a little stretch, a little walk. Then I started running again, and I kept that pace going. And then I kept, you know, just taking little breaks. The next thing I know, I'm like, I don't even want to walk anymore.
Yeah.
The lady was like, are you okay? I was like, I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
My face was so red.
Yeah.
But I did it anyway.
It takes a lot of discipline, you know?
Well,
there's no way I could do it.
I love eating. I mean, I'm telling you, I know how to take care of it. I like eating. And I'm telling you guys, you know how I talk about food in Texas. Let me just go there one more time with you, okay?
Yeah.
In case you didn't get it. The food has so much heart. You can, like, out in L.A., there's a lot of great restaurants. There's a lot of great options for different kinds of food and really good. But... there's something about, even if you go to some place in Texas and they bring you a piece of slop on a plate, it's made with love. You can feel it. And I met some people on the plane that just came back from visiting Houston, and they're like, you have this camaraderie over the food.
Really?
People talk about the food. They talk about the barbecue. They talk about the seafood. They talk about the steak, the Texas land and cattle. They talk about all the food because there's something about it that just, it's a community. It's just so, so good.
How cool is that? Huh?
Yeah. But those runs that I went on, they about did me in. So I think I can handle, what are we pushing today? Would it be up to 80 something?
No, it's going to be 100 and something.
No, by the time we get out of here, what time do you think?
It's still going to be like 90 probably easily.
I'm going to still
You know, yesterday was 110 degrees. It's hard to imagine. Just like in Vegas.
Yeah, but it still sucks. I mean, 110, there's really no cool version of 110.
No.
There's no, like, not as hot version of 110. Yeah. But I will say that it's a dry heat that does help a bit more.
Well, it actually been pretty humid. I mean, I've been sweating. Other people I know have been sweating.
You're
so.
Not sweating like Texas. I'm telling you. Yeah. I was slick.
Well, I'm sure. It's all relative.
Yeah. I was slick as a whistle.
Really?
A little slick. Slicky McGee.
Really?
Face was sweat.
Wow, how terrible is that, huh?
It's
I mean,
weird.
You take a shower, you go outside, and it's all
stuck.
Over again. You sticky.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I was like, I'm not showering.
Yeah.
I didn't shower.
Yeah, you might as well not, right?
No. I did get a pedicure and a manicure when I was there.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't get pedicures and manicures a lot. They're kind of pricey. I mean, it's not. I mean, do you know how much it costs? Like $50.
For both.
Yeah. So these girls that kind of go every 2 or 3 weeks and get their stuff touched up or done. I mean, I'm like, really? Like, okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I had the budget, I would. But I don't think, and you know, there's just some stuff like I put more. I don't think about it. So anyway, I went and I have really cute. I think I have really cute toes and feet. Uh-huh. But I'm not gonna lie. I wear high heels all the time, and I run, and I'm an active girl. And you know, they're a little jacked up. I mean, there was some dead skin going on. And a lady had to bring out a buzz saw. She had like this electronic device that she took to my feet.
Really?
She's like, oh, you see
know
that?
I don't think it's. It's legal to use in California anymore?
I don't think it is either. That's kind of scared me. I was in Texas. You know, they're a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, they do whatever the hell they want over there.
Yeah, they're a little more aggressive. But she took out electronic. She took out an electronic plug, like, bzzz, and she went on my feet. And I was like, and it tickled really bad. But she kept showing me all the dead skin.
Wow.
She's like, oh, look at all this skin you got on my feet. I said, I told you they were jacked up. I'm sorry, you know. Yeah. She's like, oh, that's not good. And then she did my toes, and then they did my fingers. And she's like, oh, look at how much of here. Look at.
Are they Vietnamese there, too?
Vietnamese. They're really sweet, though.
Yeah?
Cool people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except they tend to speak their own language. You don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, well, whatever, you know.
Doesn't bother you?
I mean, I'm curious, but I'm not going to, like, care. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, you're cool women.
Yeah. So you pampered yourself and everything, which is nice.
Yeah, so I got that done, and that was funny because she kept showing me her progress.
I see. Okay.
I was like, yeah, I told you it was going to be a little rough down there. Just work it out, okay? I'll see you in a year. We'll do this again.
So how was the flight over there?
It was fine. I mean, I don't like flying, to be honest. I mean, I like adventuring and going somewhere. I don't like the actual plane part. It's not horrible, but I don't like turbulence. It freaks me out. But I always makes me think, okay, well, what if I die? Well, what matters in life? It makes me go through the list of things in life. You know, you have those like, okay, this could be it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but you know, it's not an unbearable flight. It's like 3.5 hours.
Right.
So it's not horrible.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
And I always love talking to people on planes.
Mm-hmm.
And having a couple drinks on the plane too.
Yeah. So you did that.
On the way over there, I did. Actually, I had 2 drinks in the airport before I got on the plane.
Really?
Just to kind of calm and sleep a little bit.
Calm yourself down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I pounded a couple margaritas.
Cool.
I was like, I need this quick. I'm about to lose. My plane's about to go. Hurry up, lady. It is. Margarita rocks. Top shelf. Come on. Work it out. I was like, go. Slammed it. Got in line.
Yeah.
Went there. Yeah. I had a good time. Saw family. Saw friends.
Yeah. So you did get to see some family?
Yeah. I saw my aunt, who, you know, you guys hear me talk about a lot. She's kind of like my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Not like my mom, but the role of my mother. And she had some of her cousins down. And they're all like, they're like happy, happy Texans that are real high-pitched and cute and full of joy and love and just really sweet, sweet, sweet people. And we all went and had Mexican food. And my brother came, and then I ran into some people from high school. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
So that wasn't like your reunion.
No, that's next month. I got to work on it.
Next month?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you might as well have stayed there
until
the reunion.
I don't think I want to.
No?
No.
You're not crazy about Texas, huh?
No, I love anymore. Texas, but I don't think I'd ever want to live there
for
a long period of time.
Yeah, after you left there, it's hard to go back.
Austin's a great city. I mean, Houston's actually pretty cool, too. The more I go to Houston, there's a lot it has going on. It's an air-conditioned type living. I mean, you want high air conditioning in your car. You want to be quickly indoors in air conditioning. To me, it's not very outdoors. Like here, you want to be outdoors.
Right.
I mean, unless, you know, there's days like this. But I find I always want to be hiking, or I want to be outside. I want to be on a patio somewhere. If I go out to eat, I want to be on the patio. I want to take a walk, you know?
Yeah, so you're in your element here.
Yeah, whereas in Houston, you're like, oh, get me inside a shed or something. Give me an awning.
Wow.
Give me out of here. Hey, it's really miserable.
Really?
Miserable hot. But the people are amazing. The food is great. I mean, there's, you know, there's pros and cons. Have you ever been, like, really been to Houston or to Texas?
Not to Houston. I've been to Austin. I was there for about 3 days.
But did you do anything fun?
No, not really.
Austin's cool. You should.
Yeah, I went to a convention and stuff. So, I mean, I tried to have some fun, but there was nothing happening. You know, I mean, yes, there were a couple of clubs with bands and stuff, but that was about it. You know, I expected a lot more.
Maybe you didn't look hard enough, Sam.
Maybe I didn't look hard
just
enough.
Like you,
I went on that main street, whatever it's called.
Well, just like you're like, I've lived here for 30 years. And I'm like, Sam, but you've been, there's still a lot to do here.
Yeah.
There's so much you can do in LA.
Not for me.
Yeah, huh? If you wanted to.
Like what? Like what? What do you suggest I do?
For example, you've got the water. You can go down the water. You can, you know, do you can rent a bunch of things on the bike path. You can rent a bunch of cool things.
Right.
They have these cool things that you can power.
Okay, so how many times can you do it? You know what I mean?
No, but then you do that. Then there's tons of hiking trails if you got into hiking. I mean, there's beautiful views.
It's too hot for me to hike.
Today it's too hot, but like
summer it is.
Yeah, right. It's not. There's so many gorgeous hikes. Especially, you know, it's like a 20 degree difference on the coast.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
So when there's usually days that are hot like this, I just take everything I need to do and I just go down to the Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
It's just this heat, you know, makes me feel like a wet rag or something. You know, I mean, it's like I don't want to do anything. But, you know, that's why at night it's actually pretty nice. You know, it's been getting cool at night and that's pretty cool. That's when I get all my energy back.
Yeah.
It seems, yeah.
You sound like a little old man when you're talking about
Yeah,
me.
Well, I am an old man as far as you're concerned, right?
No.
Might as well be.
I think you're too young to be too old.
I see, okay.
Yeah. The guy that I went to see in Texas, my man friend, he is just turned, it was his birthday, he just turned 36.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed some old man things he's doing now.
Really?
Like, it's a mentality. He bitches about little things.
Mm.
Like in his where he lives, the area that he lives, you know, in the parking lots and everything, he'll complain about other tenants and noise complaints, and you know, he just notices the potholes. He notices stuff that I would never notice,
right?
Or I would just I wouldn't care because there's
You see, you're lucky that way because these things don't bother you.
Well, there's too many other fun things in life going on.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't. I'm like, you're starting to sound old. Just find something to get happy about.
Yeah, it's not old. It's like more like temperament, you know?
Yeah, but I noticed that I think with men, though, they kind of, it ferments. It becomes bigger and they grumble a lot and stuff. I mean, he's not old, but he kind of needs to just work that crap out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. Anyway.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, that's what I think. I think people should watch out with complaint. I complain too. We all do, but I'm just saying, you know, watch out.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you know who you are, tighten it up.
Yeah, you don't want people complaining around you, huh?
No, it's just not as fun, you know? It's not as fun. But I missed L.A., of course. L.A., everything moves quickly. It's fast. It's fun. I've already got my dance card's already filled for the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have a date yet?
A date?
Yeah.
A date? No, 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 no. No, but I'm going...
No, a date for a wedding or something.
Oh, no. I was just... I think I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
I'm too young. In LA, you just feel too young.
At 28, you're too young. I was just reading about Elin Woods. What's her last name? Nordegren.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But Tiger Woods is crazy.
Right, yeah. So apparently she's doing well.
What's she doing? You can't just read that. You
She's like 30 years old, and she's already got a family and kids and stuff. So.
Hey, it's not that it's
and
abnormal.
She looks great, so you're not too young.
For what I want to do, not everything's established yet, and
right.
I just don't want to be...
But it doesn't have to do with age. It has to do more with your goals.
Exactly. It's where I am in life, and I don't want to be lugging around three kids trying to get to auditions
and
stuff.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
You know? Can you hold my baby for a second while I go...
it doesn't
commercial?
Sound very good, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, mommy's got to go do a set... The club. I'll see you later. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think what happens is not for everybody. I feel like with myself, when I start having kids, the maternal thing's going to kick in,
right.
And I'm going to shut down everything else.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to happen. And so I'm afraid to go there. I feel like it's going to be hard for me to continue on pursuing my dreams. I think I'm just going to
right.
You know, I have a friend, he's a comedian, and he doesn't mean this, but it's a joke, but he talks about his kid. He goes, yeah, I named my kid Dream Crusher. And I was like, well,
yeah.
Kinda.
So some people, you know, I mean, their kids become an obstacle for them, and that's a terrible thing.
Well, I mean, I don't know how to do it. I don't know if you're supposed to. I don't know if you're supposed to just. I think you should be able to maintain your identity and still pursue things, but how do you really do that? I mean, with kids, unless you have a lot of money and you can get nannies and leave when you need to leave and your kid's taken care of and then you come back and...
Yeah, either that or if you have friends and family that help you out sometimes, you know, and you take...
Yeah, I don't
have
that out here. I mean, I've got friends, but still, you know, there's nobody I'm going to dump my kid off with.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love the idea of it all. Of course, I do. I know it'll happen probably within the next few years.
Yeah.
I could feel it. Mm. I could feel it in my fingers. I'll feel it in my toes. Da-da-da. You know that song?
Yeah.
I love that song. Feel it in my fingers. Got my karaoke on in Texas. Toe it up.
Did
from
you
the
really?
Flow-ups. Yeah. Yeah. I had so much fun. Had a good time. Yeah, I do Lady in Red, the song Lady in Red.
Oh, yeah, Chris DeBarge.
Oh, my gosh, what a good jam.
Really?
Well, it's fun because, you know, you go to these karaoke bars, and it's just such a... Everybody's doing something that's high energy, really, really like... Or they're singing really loud, and then this song starts... I never seen you look as a girl just as you did tonight.
Putting everybody to sleep.
No, but they're laughing hysterically. I do it funny. Yeah, I do it like I'm so dramatic, and then I turn my back to the audience, and I go in the corner and put my hand up like I'm so into the moment, and I just need a moment.
Right.
They get into it.
So why do you make fun of it? Do you think...
I sing some of the parts for real really good, and then I think it's just a fun kind of dramatic song.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I'm an entertainer, so...
You don't think it's sort of like you don't want him criticizing you or anything, so you just kind of...
No, I mean, I'm a singer, so I don't have anything to worry about. I don't need to be... I'm not stressed about somebody judging my voice, especially karaoke, believe me.
And especially people in Texas.
No, there's good singers in Texas. No, but I mean, I'm a singer, so I'm confident in my skills. But I also think, like, when you go karaokeing, people don't want to hear somebody singing, you know, I Believe the Children Are Our Future by Whitney Houston.
Right.
You want it to have fun. You want a performance. People are having fun as opposed to listen to me really sing the
song. So you think it's about the performance, too, as well as the singing?
Yeah, I think as an entertainer, you kind of... Well, what I do is I look at what the audience needs.
Mm. Figure it out?
I gauge what I feel. Like, okay, well, they're getting a lot of this sound. They're getting a lot of this kind of performance. Let's change it up and do something different. Mm. And you know what it does? It shocks the audience because the texture's different. So then they're like, ooh, what's going on here?
Mm.
And they love it. And I also do sing in the song as well. So
right.
I belt out some songs, you know, some tunes and stuff. I belt out some really good notes to make it, you know, quality. But there's a performance element to it. And it's very holistic. It's very fun. It's lighthearted, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get up there and sing something, you know, serious. And belt out my voice, you know. People, they don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it.
They would like it. They'd like it, but it's not the... I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't particularly...
You just like to entertain, make people laugh.
I love it. I do.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I personally, when I go karaoke, I mean, it's a joke. Anybody should be able to do it. It's not about singing good. It's about having fun, right? And you know, if I'm really trying to do original music or things that really showcase myself, I do a gig. Like, I go to LA, I go to Genghis Cohen, Molly Malone's, you know, Hotel Cafe, and I do a show. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's like, you know, Kara Kimber music, whatever. But when you're going to karaoke, it's people having drinks, everybody's daring somebody to get up, everybody wants to feel included. It should be inclusive, not like, okay, I need you guys to be quiet because I'm going to sing. I'm a Mariah Carey tune back in the day when she really could sing, and I'm gonna belt it out, and I need everybody to like applaud me, because I think that's different. I don't think that's as fun.
Yeah,
we'll go and you'll see what I mean.
Okay,
we'll go. We'll have a big...
Are there good karaoke places?
Yeah, if you guys are in town, go. Burbank kind of has it. It's called Sardos.
Right.
Burbank has a great place called Sardos. It's a hole in the wall, a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's of course Dimples, but that's kind of like... Dimples is fun, but it's just so... I don't know. It's just so LA, and it's just, I don't know. But it's fun. Then there's the Brass Monkey, which is really cute and fun in Koreatown.
Mm.
And there's several others. They've got like an abandoned hotel, I think, in Silver Lake Ramada Inn. I can't remember. And they've turned it into a really cool karaoke place, too.
Right.
But I think, again, it's about an all-inclusive feeling as opposed to, now everybody be quiet and watch me.
Right.
You know?
Right. Okay.
So anyway.
So now everybody's curious about, did you have a good time? I mean, did you have any romance or anything? You know, people want to know. Inquiring minds.
Who's anybody asking?
Inquiring minds.
Has anybody been asking? No,
I'm just pretty sure that's what people want to hear.
Yeah, so this is how it
went. That was the purpose of the trip, right?
This is how it went. What a wicked game you play. I never felt this way, and I wanna fall in love. That's how it went.
Really?
You know, the beach?
Uh-huh.
Whoosh, rolling on the beach.
Yeah. Is that how it happened?
No, I just thought it'd be funny. With you. That's a great song, isn't it? Chris Isaac?
Yeah.
It was very fun, romantic. This is somebody that I'm very close to, and I've known this person for 10 years.
Right.
And as you know, you've been married. It's different. It's not the same kind of adrenaline rush. It's like...
this familiarity there?
Yeah, a lot of comfort. It's really more comforting. It's
right.
Like, wow, there's somebody that I really connect with and that I really love. And
yeah, so there's not a lot of courtship going on. I mean,
point. It's more, I mean, there is. Like, the first night I got there, he took me to a really fancy restaurant that we were sitting right next to a piano player who was playing.
Were you wearing the black flower on your
head? Uh-huh, I wore my black flower.
Yeah.
I looked so cute.
It looked like
cute.
A fucking tumor.
This is the prettiest tumor you've ever seen. Real fluffy little tumor. And I had a really cute skirt on, with lots of ruffles, totally frills to the max.
Uh-huh.
And we had like your typical candlelight dinner, 5-star restaurant, really great. I had a great food.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was really fun. Now, he's a big guy. He's a big, beefy man, okay? Muscular. He's got a lot of back hair. He's a wildebeest, okay?
Yeah.
And he's an eater. Like, I'm always like, you know, babe, you need to relax on how your portions, like, you know, you don't need to eat 5, you know, I'm just like, take it down a notch, you know what I mean? And he's not fat. He's just beefy, you know, really, really beefy. And, at, you know, gourmet restaurants, they don't give you a lot of food.
Right.
So he ordered, like, he loves Italian. He ordered ravioli. Well, it was like a long, thin rectangle plate with like about 5 pieces of ravioli.
That's it?
That were laid out with the sauce.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is not
just
good.
The appetizer for
it
him.
Just does not sound like it's going to go good. So he's like, damn it. And he ate it, and I knew that we were going to have to go eat out afterwards.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know.
So after that, you went for hamburger?
Yeah, we had more food afterwards. I was actually full because I had scallops, which are really big and juicy. Do you like seafood?
Yeah, some of them, but not...
You like scallops?
No, I'm not that much into shellfish. I just go for shrimp or something, but that's it.
But, I mean, you know, I guess with the 5-star type dining and stuff, you eat in courses, and it's more about, I guess, tasting it as opposed to really getting filled off the food.
No, and I hear scallops are pretty good, you know?
I love scallops. Yeah. But, I mean, I was pretty full, but he wanted, you know, of course, he was still hungry, and I was laughing so hard, because I think what suits him better, and he's that kind of guy where you need to take him to where they have family style.
Mm.
And he's not going to share it with his family, but he's going to eat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was really funny. So, but we did. We went there, and so it was more of a very fun, loving experience. It wasn't like high, sexy, you know.
Right.
It wasn't like that. It was more. It was more just, you know, fun. Like, he's somebody I want to do things with.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do things. Whatever.
Yeah.
Activities.
Enjoy life.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a weird place. I'm kind of changing. You know, maybe that's what it is. You know, when you're, I don't know. I don't really have answers. I just know what I'm feeling is that I'm kind of reprioritizing things relationally with people and emotions and feelings. And I think that LA is a lot of fun, and it's really easy to, I think, get addicted to the chase of like the thrill.
Mm.
You know, like everything's an adrenaline rush and it's fun. And it's exciting, but it's not real. It's an illusion, you know? And I think it's hard sometimes.
Is it necessarily, though?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I think that there's a lot of, not everybody, but there's, you know, especially when you're in entertainment, you meet people, everybody loves each other for 2 seconds because everybody's exciting and talented. And then but there's nothing real. Like, there's no real, hey, I'm going to be there for you, or I'm really connected to you, or we're going to really work through the hard stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't find that's, it's not that it doesn't exist here, but it's not. It's so elusive.
Maybe you just haven't experienced it. You know? There's a lot of people here. It's hard, to make those kind of generalizations.
But I know that I'm not the only one. I know that a lot of people think that way, live in L.A. And I think that specifically to the industry, too. If you're always out doing comedy or music or whatever, you're going to kind of run into the same kind of persona of people.
Right.
And that's not bad, but I just think that this is not a town that... I think there's just a lot of... high highs and low lows here, you know what I mean? And it's kind of addictive because everything just feels like the stakes are really high, and it's like, and And then, you know, you kind of get used to that, but it's not sustainable. It's not really, like the stuff you build a life on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the person that I was seeing in Texas, I mean, it's totally different. It just feels so different.
Right.
Yeah. And it takes some kind of getting used to, you know, because it's not.
But it's also because he's familiar. I mean, if you'd known somebody here for 10 years, you'd probably feel the same way, you know?
I mean,
you could be doing things with them. It's not the place so much as the people.
No, I know. I guess you're not hearing what I'm saying. Like, you're married, and I know based on what you've shared, I mean, there's certain feelings and emotions that you don't have as when you did when you were single. But mm-hmm. there's things that you have when you're married that you don't have when you're single.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you have, there's a loyalty, there's a commitment, there's a love and a servitude and, you know, a real working for each other. And, but yet you don't necessarily have the crazy adrenaline, you know, mm-hmm. high, low, lows that you get when you're in the dating scene and that crazy, like,
okay,
fiery.
Well, we'll have to take your word for it.
No, I'm asking you. I mean, yeah. Would you agree with that or no?
Again, I think it's a generalization.
No, but I'm asking you. Do you, I mean, come to some common ground with me on this conversation. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you really are in a relationship versus mm-hmm. the dating scene and the differences. And
no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's unique to here. That's all I'm
saying. No, I actually agree with you, but I do think there's a saturation of a culture of people that move out here mm-hmm. that are not family focused. They're career centered. And
right.
I don't fault them for that because that's why I moved out here.
Right.
But when you get all those people together and mm-hmm. you are dating or whatever,
mm-hmm.
people aren't willing to go the distance and really grow into those different kind of emotions, that different kind of commitment.
Mm.
Everybody's wanting to kind of stay on that surface level because their number one priority is themselves. And I know that I'm not making this up, and I know that this is not anything new, and it happens everywhere, but it's highly concentrated in LA.
Okay. Well, if that's your impression, I have to respect that. You know, I just...
No, you have to agree with me and say, Kara,
you're
right. Oh, I have
to fucking agree with you. I don't think so.
Yes, you do, Sam, all the time.
So, did you meet anybody interesting on the plane?
Yeah, I feel like I'm meeting, and on another level, I'm meeting everybody that's going through divorce.
Yeah.
No, so many people going through divorces. I meet people, and at Houston, I met some people going through divorce, and then on the guy that I came back on the plane with, I mean, we just mm-hmm. sat next to each other.
Yeah.
You know,
notice you always sit next to guys, which is amazing, huh?
No, I sat next to a couple girls.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sat next to this one girl. She was really cool. That my last trip to Texas, and really cool girl. She had a bunch of free drink tickets, so we hit it off.
Yeah, you know, it's like I'm trying to think in all the flights that I've ever been to. I can remember only one flight where there was like an attractive girl sitting next to me, and we ended up going to the same convention. We were going to the same convention.
Did you guys
but
chat?
This we chatted. We had fun. She was drop-dead gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And until she stood up, and she is so fucking tall that I felt like I was reaching her shoulders or something.
Is
so
that a turn-off
for
you?
Was really, no, it was really weird.
No, so it is a turn-off for you?
Yeah, it's... I think when a man is shorter than a woman, it doesn't look right. I don't know. I mean, it's not like there's anything wrong with it generally, mm-hmm. but it just doesn't look right. You know, mm-hmm. at least to me, it doesn't. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's like maybe it's both. Even if the guy is way too tall and the girl is not, it's also kind of weird. You know, mm-hmm. you can't really hug in the normal way and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I think. But other than that, I always get older men sitting next to me. I don't know what it is.
Oh, really?
And,
old
yeah,
dude?
Yeah. And I don't really get into talking to them that much.
No, I just like talking to people.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not like sitting by like these Fabio,
I know, it's
sexy
like going,
men. I'm just talking to men that are humans, that happen
I know.
To be men.
You don't judge people. You see, I'm too surface, you know?
Are you?
I judge people by the way they look, so.
Like in what way?
Well, if a chick is attractive, I'll talk to her. If she's not, I won't.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
You're such a liar.
But usually to guys I don't really talk to.
You're just not interested, or they just seem like...
No, I'm not interested. No. No, there's nothing I want to know about them.
But I know that's not true. Like, I see you talk to guys all the time here at the
station.
Yeah,
but, yeah, of course, because I know them and everything. But, you know, on a plane, and, you know, it's not somebody I would hang out with. And,
but you don't even know that, because you're like, You're like a buddy dude. I can see you buddying up with people and being buds.
Yeah, well,
talking
not so much. I'm kind of
shy.
talking about
the i4 phone and stuff. I can see you talking about that. Look at your little posts. What are your posts recently that you put up there about so-and-so's behind Bing? Who uses Bing?
Yahoo.
You're like, Yahoo is over it. Oh, I mean, you can have tech talk with somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, or talk about...
But not with an older man or something, you know, or or a cute woman.
You're funny. No.
You got to pick your conversations, your topics, you know, depending on who you're with.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I just, you know, I just made a comment that, or an observation.
Uh-huh.
That I would be a lot more inclined to talk to if it was an attractive woman, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that's usually the case. You know, I don't think attractive women ever are left alone wherever they are, you know. So I don't know how I would deal with that if I was... I was an attractive woman, you know.
It's interesting. Like the guy, he was like, Texas guy, I'll call him. He was like, "What's it like, Kara?" He's like, "Being a woman and at all that attention."
Yeah.
All that attention because I'm such a beauty queen, whatever. and I was like, "Well,
Texas Belle."
I'm like, "What is it like?" And I'm certainly not the, I'm just like a basic good-looking woman. I think, you know. Decent looking woman, but I even on that level, the attention that I get, it's kind of interesting because you kind of get unmerited favor for things kind of sometimes. Mm-hmm. But there's sometimes a lot of attention you get that's not, you have to kind of you have to decipher through it, and you have to kind of, you do have to diffuse things a lot of times. So
right.
It's kind of a maintenance, you know, like I just got back. I mean, you look at me right now. I have barely any makeup on. I'm freaking about to go run. And I was at the coffee shop and I had to make sure I didn't make eye contact with a couple guys. Cause they were one dude kept trying to look at me and talk to me. So I made sure not to look at him. And then one guy sitting behind me, I was like, "Hey, I'm just gonna use the restroom real quick. Can you watch my stuff?" He's like, "Yeah, cool." When I come back, he's like, "What do you do?" I didn't tell him what I did. He's like, "This is what I do."
That's what I mean.
He gave me a card. And I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not anything I'm complaining about, but there's a level of having to put out certain things before they get started because I don't know. Guys are different. Girls are different. At the same time, it's an interesting power you have, you know, an interesting influence that you can kind of become addicted to. And I've seen it happen with people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you feel a sense of power.
You know? You feel like just like men want power in a certain way. Women have a lot. Women can obtain power through their beauty or femininity or sexuality. And I think it can become a little addictive. Case in point. So let's say you're used to getting a certain response based on the way you look, sheerly the way you look. Well, then you go into certain crowds and you're with a bunch of people that look like that. And you're like, well, why the hell aren't people paying attention to me right now? And it's because, you know, they're overstimulated with a bunch of gorgeous women.
Right.
And what can be addictive or wrong about it is you start to find your identity in that response.
Yeah, you look for like...
Yeah, and you got to realize, wait a minute, this is just the way I look and it's going to fade one day. And I'm not the most prettiest or whatever, and it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it even with girlfriends of mine that they're used to being like the belle of the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they walk into a place and they're not getting that attention, and they start getting desperate.
Really?
And they start kind of like, interrupting conversation and trying to like, look at me.
Yeah.
And it becomes this feeding frenzy of these. And these women aren't even interested in these men.
Yeah.
They just want to be the most whatever.
Yeah,
and
desired.
Most desired. And it's like an aphrodisiac or adrenaline, and it's about power.
Yeah.
It's about power, you know?
Yeah.
But it's stupid. So stupid. You know what I mean? Because
I suppose.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
But how interesting is that, you know? You walk in, you get a little attention, you start to feel like you're a big deal, and then you get a little used to it, and then you know how to manipulate it a bit and how to get something out of it. And then it becomes, oh, this is my identity, da-da-da-da-da. And then you overly put emphasis and work into something that's not character building, it's not your soul, it's not your personality, it's not your talent.
Yeah.
And then you start to, you're not working on those things, and then that starts to fade, and then you're like, well, wait a minute, you know? And I see it happening to people. I'm like, you know what, in 5 years, this person's not going to be that cute.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to be that cute.
Nobody stays young, man.
Nobody does, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's like, where do we, I mean, some people that, let's say they're not like the most gorgeous, or their physicality isn't the thing that gets them attention. Let's say it's their talent. Let's say it's a skill or you know, it's a trait that they have, that they, right. in the right context, environment, they get a lot of attention. You know, it could be a tech guy or whatever. Still the fear with those things, although it doesn't seem as shallow, if you put your identity in those things, I mean, what happens when somebody else comes along with a better invention? Or what happens when, you know, somebody's funnier, or in some cases, your talents fade, you know, in a way. Like, they're not, somebody else is brighter. You know, you put your identity in those things. It's like, well, then who are you? And you start, I think it breeds jealousy. I think it breeds envy and strife and all these crazy, bitter things, and people start going crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's very competitive, you know, so, I mean, these kind of fields. So.
Yeah, and I mean, it's part of who you are, but it's not your identity. I mean, I think it's important to know who you are and what matters.
Yeah. What I don't understand is women that spend so much time on looking good and making themselves look good, and then they don't like the attention when they go out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't understand that. You know, if you don't want to draw attention,
don't buy it. Do you buy it?
What?
I mean, I know, like, okay, so, like, I don't buy that, like...
Some women look like they're bothered by attention, you know?
Yeah.
Some guys.
Well, they want to look... here's what I can kind of identify with that, is that I want to look good and feel good about myself, and I want to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had to, like, grow up and realize that, you know, that means certain people are going to read into it, certain people are going to take it as an invitation, and I've got to just not get pissed, but diffuse that.
Right.
If I want to dress and look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't like it, then change the way I look.
Right?
Right. I think that there's some girls that it sometimes, I don't know, I think there's a lot of really kind of bitchy women out there too, don't you think?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Kind of like look pretty and they look like they're...
Yeah, yeah, and like pose, you know? Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, they got like a really cold kind of, you know, like they ate a bunch of lemons, but they're really hot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think hot is, I think, well, it's never going to be out of style, but I kind of think hot's not that in style.
No.
Well, think it about
depends,
it. Think about it. Hot, I mean, not like sex appeal. Sex appeal is different, but that whole, like, I'm hot, but it's really cold,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't look like there's any warmth or personality, but it's like super cold and stealthy hot.
Yeah.
You know?
But you still, I mean, they're still desirable.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, it's yeah. It's never going to
But you just think, I'd like to lay her or something, you know?
But like, you don't want to know that person. You don't really want to have a dinner. You just, you know, it's
not
like...
Not with someone who poses. But you know what? I also think a lot of people are shy, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what happens to me? I mean, if, you know, I mean, I enjoy if women look at me and stuff, but I notice that when, if they look or they stare... Then I start posing too, you know, because you don't want them to see you looking at them, you know. So it's kind of funny that
way. What's that look like with Sam poses?
I get like kind of nervous.
What do you do? Do you cock your hip to the side?
No, I just kind of don't look, you know. I mean, I just...
You get nervous.
Yeah.
You like pull out your phone and
so that's why I think women are like that as well.
I think
they may not be bitches.
I think you're right. I actually have a really good friend of mine. She's so beautiful. But she's grown up a lot, but she was so terrified of men. I mean, just insecure. Guys give her attention. She doesn't know what to do with it. I mean, it's literally just insecurity and being self-conscious. So her defense to deal with it was she got really, like, snobby.
Mm-hmm.
And guys were intimidated by her, and then they thought she was a bitch. And I'm like, that's not who she is at all. She's a lovely girl with a beautiful heart, beautiful mind. Yeah. But she's just terrified of that attention.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, you know, men kind of expect women to take notice, and if you make a move or something, for them to actually pay attention to the guy and so forth. And, you know, when it doesn't happen, guys get disappointed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think every woman is as outgoing as you, for example.
No, they're not.
So, you know, they're not gonna acknowledge this.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's not so much about the physicality. I mean... There's a level of that, but for me, it's more the fun factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, ultimately, I feel like in this, most people are just underappreciated and undernourished.
Mm-hmm.
You give anybody a little bit of attention in this town, and they go crazy. They just love it.
Yeah.
You know, they're so ready to talk about themselves, and they're under...
Yeah, because nobody pays attention to you.
Yeah,
in
everybody's
this town,
too
you
into
know?
Themselves. So it's funny, you go to like a lounge or a mixer or, you know, a social event, and... You see people that are, they're just looking around with their drink, or they've got the cell phone out acting like they're texting to somebody because they're nervous. And it's everybody that's so self-involved. And it's, and, you know, it puts the work, makes you have to do a lot of work to draw people out. But once they, you start kind of drawing them out, they light up and they're so excited. They're like, somebody's talking to me and showing interest. And I can, even if it's not a sexual thing, they just feel recognized.
Right.
And it goes a long way in this town, just being genuine and other-centered as opposed to self-centered. People are just like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It really does freak people out.
Yeah. You seem to have a lot of stereotypes about L.A., though.
There's generalizations.
You
got to
remember, you've seen it from a certain perspective of a single woman.
Well, I mean, Sam, I think that it's a valid perspective, and I know a lot of people that have this perspective. And you know what? Ask around. Ask other people. Don't listen to me. I mean, if you think it's a jaded or it's a whatever. I mean, I've lived here 9 years.
I don't have to ask people. I experience it myself.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's a lot of great people here.
I'm not, but the thing is, I'm not saying there's not great people. I'm talking about the cultural tone, okay? I think it's very accurate of the cultural tone. But, you know, you're not, I mean, I've got to ask you, how engaged are you in the culture? Not that much. I mean, think about it. You work, you go home, you're married, you stay at home.
Yeah, but I've lived here for 35 years,
but,
you know.
I know
about L.A. a little bit, you know.
Yeah, but I think that the fact that this sounds like it's foreign to you is weird to me, that you're like, what are you talking about? This isn't, I mean, come on, man.
It does happen. It's just that I think it's a single woman's perspective. It's not everybody's perspective.
Well,
I'm not saying every single
I know
you're not saying every single, but I'm saying in general, I think you're making a generalization.
I've clearly said these are generalizations, but they're accurate. I'm saying they're like stereotypes, which this isn't even stereotypes. Let's say generalizations. You're generalizing. That means you leave exception to the rule. You leave exceptions because everybody's an individual. I recognize that. But the generalization comes from what? It comes from the probability, the fact that you see it over and over and over and over.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. I know what you're saying. I'm just saying that I don't think it's like that. That's all.
Well,
so you can say it's a
solid
view.
Why don't I take you out sometime? How about we do this? Let me just show you around town.
Yeah, but then that would be like going out single again. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well,
there's a lot of people that are not single. They're in relationships.
In fact,
most people probably are.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Are you nuts? No, this is not a married town, please.
No, not a married, but I mean relationships.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, not from what you're seeing.
I mean, if you're talking about the Valley, maybe. But I'm talking like Hollywood, West Side, you know, Santa Monica, Los Feliz. I mean, yeah, there's relationships. They exist. This is not a relationship-driven town. You should know that. You know that, Sam. It doesn't mean they don't exist. It doesn't mean there aren't people that aren't happily married here. But this is not a relationship-centered town. Can we agree on that or no?
No.
Okay.
No. You just have to be right, don't you?
No, I just feel like, I'm like, for somebody who's lived here 30 years, why are you looking at me like I'm an alien for saying what I'm saying? You should know that what I'm saying is true.
No, I don't think it is. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I think it's a reputation that L.A. has, and, you know, I don't think it's necessarily true. I mean, yes, there's a lot of people like that, but I think they're the minority. I don't think they're the majority. Okay, you don't have to accept that, you know? Good thing we have that Pop Stopper there, man.
Pop Stopper. That's a cute name, Pop Stopper. I think I want to name... I have a dog. I want to name one of my dogs Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt?
Yeah.
Really?
Like
why would
old,
you...
I don't know. I just think it's cute. Hey, Duck Hunt. Duck Hunt.
Yeah, and but then, it sounds like there's cunt in the word.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Duck...
Like a joke hunt,
ooh,
you know?
Gross.
No, I mean, that's true. You got to think about it.
No, Duck Hunt.
That's what it sounds
Duck
like.
Duck Hunt is the old Nintendo game.
I know.
It's funny.
But it just
nobody steal
sound
it, by
right.
the way. Duck Hunt. And then what about Pop Stopper? That's kind of funny.
For your dog. Pop Stopper.
That's
yeah.
kind of cute. What if you just named
you're your... Just call him Pop.
What if you named all your dogs like funny names like Staple Gun?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Refrigerator! Where's microwave and refrigerator? That'd be funny. Ooh, I'm going to start something.
Yeah.
I got something going.
Do you like pets?
I love dogs.
Really? So
cats,
how come you don't get one?
I live in an apartment with 500 roommates. I don't know. That's kind of a deterrent.
They're not into dogs?
No, I mean, it's a mutual responsibility. People have to walk the dog. Da, da,
right.
da. It's just like, I think until I get my own place and that's big enough, I don't want to do that.
Have you lived with animals before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot, but a little bit, yeah. Mm. Growing up a bit, we had a couple dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I love dogs. They're freaking cute.
Yeah, dogs are cute. Those are cool, but, you know.
Cats a little pissy. They're a little pissy, a little self-involved. They're kind of like the people here in L.A.
Yeah, it's just too much work.
You know what I don't like that you do with me is you, when I make my generalizations, you like to put it as though there's something negative about me for making them. When, case in point, TJ does nothing but make generalizations, and there's some truth in everything he's saying, but it's not the total sum of everybody. But he can't. That's what his whole show's on.
Why are you taking it personally? We're debating this stuff, you know. I mean, sometimes you see things.
No, yet, but I've noticed that
you have a problem with judging, and I told you this before. You, what you just said is as though you said that I look negatively upon you when I don't agree with you.
No. I said when I make these generalizations, you try to kind of say, okay, there's something negative about what you're saying, and that it's, and I'm like going, it's a generalization. I'm not saying there's anything negative.
You constantly
bring it up, and yet we have shows, and one of your best buddies, TJ, who's hysterical, does nothing but make generalizations. I don't see you going, hey, TJ.
Well, he's not sitting across from me. When he does, I
tell
him.
Okay. Okay. And we're back in business.
You get special treatment anyway, so. You know, but special. I don't see the negative thing there at all that you're trying to say.
Okay.
I don't see that. So don't take it as that.
I want to send a shout out to one of our listeners that I did get an email from.
Okay.
His name is Abdullah, and he is living in Saudi Arabia. Hello, Abdullah.
Hi, Abdullah.
He is a faithful listener. He loves the show. Mm-hmm. He had one comment to make.
Okay.
Which is that when we were having a previous discussion, he said, you know, I want to clarify that, you know, Islam is not terrorism. And that terrorism and Muslims are different.
Yeah, well, and that's what they all say.
Well, here's the thing.
You know?
He had a good point. For somebody that, if he was trying to defend terrorism, one, he wouldn't be listening to our show, and he wouldn't be as open-minded to have a discussion about it, and he wouldn't be, like, you know, sitting here making distinctions. And one of the things that he brought up was that, you know, Saudi Arabia was the first to kick out Osama bin Laden, has been dealing with terrorism within their own country long before the U.S. has been dealing with it. And they've been fighting terrorism amongst their own people for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying that it's not so much a faith-centered, that terrorism stems from that, but he's saying it's a political situation. It's political. And I thought, you know, that's interesting, the way he brought that up, is that it stems more from the way people want to do things and take power, and it's a political move. It's not stemming from the faith.
Yeah. Well, I respect Abdullah's opinion. I happen to disagree, and I think a lot of people are disagreeing as well, you know, because that is generally what Muslims say. Yeah, it's about love and stuff, but it's not, you know. If you get into it, you realize that it's not. Now, what about people that there are Muslims that celebrate when something bad happens to the West? You know,
but
they're not terrorists.
No, they may have not have been the ones that committed the terrorist act, but can you really say that they're representing the faith?
Nobody represents the faith. I mean, there's like billions of people that are Muslims, you know. Nobody necessarily represents it. But I think if you look at the world right now, every flashpoint has Muslims involved there. And
not only that, but
even in their own Quran, it shows how that religion was spread by the sword, and you know, it seems like they revert to violence. Now, also look at Iran, for example. Let's say not all of them are for terror, but still look at the kind of life that they have, and look at the hatred they have towards the West.
Well, you know, one of the things he talks about is that, you know, there's two different Islamic sects. There's the Shia and the Sunni, and most of the Muslims are Sunni. They live in Saudi Arabia and all.
Sunni, I think.
Sorry.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. And in Saudi Arabia and all other countries except Iran, most of the people in Iran are Shia.
Shia, that's right.
Yeah, and he said, as you know, Iran has already built up a uranium, whatever, plant. He goes, I believe, as most people do, that the Shia people were responsible for the failed attempt to assassinate the Saudi deputy interior minister who in charge of the counterterrorism in August 2009. Anyway, he's basically dividing these two sects, saying, and this is from a listener who we're corresponding through email, and I said I wanted to share it on the
right,
radio today.
Right.
Because he took time to really reach out, and he's clarifying.
Yeah, that's cool, and thanks for listening and everything. It's just that, you know, we can open up a debate on this.
No, absolutely, and he seems really cool, and I asked him, I said, you know, when you start to see terrorism coming from, you know, stemming from or claiming the faith of Islam, and we're told time and time again that this is a peaceful religion and tolerant, you know, you're going to have people asking questions.
Right.
Well, why? And just because people are asking the questions does not mean that they're anti-Islamic, and it does not mean that they're judgmental. They just want to know why. And I said, you know, I relate it to being a Christian. As a Christian, there's a lot of things like cults, hypocrisy, money swindling that people that aren't Christian ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you believe in this, how come you always see this? How come you always see that? And I have to go, well, boom, 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 boom. You know, and I deal with those questions as well. And I think this is kind of similar to the same vein, not necessarily the same thing, but it's similar to having, you know, perversions of the religion, or you have people that take it and run with it. And he really talks about, you know, he said the reason behind this is the policy, not the religion. He goes, Iraq, for example, is the number one producer of terrorists in the area. And the reason is not because they're Muslims, but because of the long political history between America and Iraq. And
right. But look at countries like Malaysia or something, right, that are so far from Israel, for example, and they're Islamic countries. And you'll go to the average citizen, and they probably hate Israel, you know, and they hate the West. So it's not about terrorists. I think it's about a way of life. I think it's about belief and faith, and that's it. But listen, we're out of time, and I'm always open to debate this.
Well, I want to tell this guy, I think he's awesome for reaching out and expressing his thoughts, and his name's Abdullah. Yeah. He's an awesome guy, and I appreciate it.
Cool.
Anyway, say you like him too.
Yeah, I admire our fans, and you know, and like I said, we're open to debate, and if he can convince me, go ahead and call in, Abdullah. We're always open. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. Kira, welcome back. Nice to have you again.
Thank you guys for stay tuning. I'm happy to have, oh yeah, Chris
Thanks
Brown
for
in
stay
Colorado.
Tuning.
It was a good safe flight. Thanks for reaching out. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, Chris, take care. And thanks everyone. We'll be back here live tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.